I want you folks to all know that I am on Patreon, and if you enjoyed this program, give me money so I can keep recording them. That's going to be at patreon.com/nerdforensics. Hello, Nerd Forensics fans. Today we are recording in the Vatican. And by that, I mean the real Vatican. And if you're wondering where the real Vatican is, well, it's in my kitchen. Most people don't know, but there are two popes, two Vaticans, and two Catholic churches. So I guess I'm going to be number three. Sounds pretty crazy, right? Well, that's what this episode is all about. I'm Millicent Oriana. Welcome to Nerd Forensics, Episode 4, A New Pope, or Crazy, Crazy, Crazy.
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
What? I don't want to ask him anything. The man is clearly unwell. All right, and tonight I am joined by Sophia Baca and Jacob Urban, who are basically going to be here as foils for me, because this is something that I did research on my own completely. This episode is going to be about the Sede Vacantist movement, particularly Hutton Gibson, his son Mel, and fantasy writer J.R.R. Tolkien. So, to give you all a little bit of background, this entire movement has its origins in Vatican II. And for those listeners who don't know what Vatican II is, maybe you're not a history buff, maybe you're not in a part of the world that's predominantly Catholic, it was the Catholic Church updating itself, saying that they were going to move into the 20th century. They decided that people outside of Christianity who were good and did good things could, you know, find salvation. The official language used in services would be the local language. And the official language of the church, of course, would remain Latin, but wouldn't be spoken during services. Oh, also, priests could no longer read the entire thing facing away from the congregation. They said, maybe you should face the congregation. Be a little bit less creepy. So, yeah, sounds really problematic, doesn't it? Sounds like a world-ending problem here, doesn't it? If you didn't know, us here at Nerd Forensics are a bunch of paranoid right-wing nut jobs, and we eat a slurry made out of lead and mercury because the government tells us not to. We call it Patriot Porridge. Sounds nuts, right? But yeah, that's just crazy. We don't actually do that, because anybody that does that would be out of their damn mind. Just like anybody who starts their own Catholic church.
I mean, you'd probably die eating that too, so...
Well, a couple hundred years ago, you'd probably die opening your own Catholic church.
That is very true.
What about those Catholic, I think it was like the 1500s or like the 1700s, the two anti-popes?
That's what's happening here again, except for it's some dickhead in Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah, I just think it's funny that like sometimes the Catholic church splits, it splits into a new church, like the Lutherans or like, you know, the Protestants.
I have no problem with that.
Oh yeah, and the Orthodox churches, but then sometimes you just get like it's like we're gonna be Catholic Church 2.0/3.0,
or in this instance, you're the real Catholic Church, which just sells crazy, right?
Pretty crazy. I mean, I feel like anybody who decides they want to start their own religion has to have a few screws loose.
Absolutely. Patriot Porridge also helps with that if you anybody out there is interested in starting their own religion. And, you know, I will be willing to sell the recipe if anybody's dumb enough to eat it.
Is that a liability issue?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't suggest people eat lead and mercury. I mean, if they're going to, based off what somebody on the radio tells them. Oh, wait, no. Never mind. Joe Rogan and Alex Jones already do that.
Yeah, I thought it was a reference to Joe Rogan and Alex Jones.
Well, I guess I was unintentionally referencing Joe Rogan and Alex Jones, everybody. All right. And since, you know, we're having fun with all the craziness, I'm going to just keep this crazy train rolling. And I'm going to tell you all about Mel Gibson's dad, the famous Jeopardy champion, Hutton Peter Gibson. Hutton Peter Gibson was born on August 26, 1918. He was an American writer, a World War II veteran, and the 1968 Jeopardy Grand Champion. He was also the father of actor Mel Gibson.
So is he Australian? Because I thought Mel Gibson was Australian.
Well, Mel Gibson, I believe, was born in Australia. Hutton Gibson was from New York. He was born in Peekskill, New York in 1918, and he died May 11th of last year at the age of 101.
So, a 101-year-old man who developed his own Catholic church, I'm sure that his views were, like, you know, super progressive and...
Normal?
Yeah, normal.
Well, anybody who's familiar with his son might understand how progressive and normal his views are. So let's just jump right into his early life. Gibson was born in Peekskill, New York, the son of a businessman, John Hutton Gibson, who was, you know, similar name. John Hutton Gibson, born 1884 and died in 1933, and an Australian opera singer, Ava Mylott, 1875 to 1920. His maternal grandparents were Irish immigrants to Australia, while his father, who was from a wealthy tobacco-producing family from the American South, slave owners, had Irish, English, Scottish, and Welsh ancestry. He was raised in Chicago. His mother died when he was 2 years old, and his father died when he was 15. Gibson supported his younger brother, who died in his early 20s, and he graduated from high school at the age of 15. Hutton Gibson originally planned on being a priest in the Chicago Seminary, but he left the seminary because he considered the modernist theological doctrines which were being taught disgusting.
And what year are we at right now?
1933.
God, so he thinks that at this time it's too progressive?
Yeah.
Where people went to confession every week, sometimes every day?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I need to process well, that.
Were people flailing themselves?
I guess not.
Were they flaying themselves?
No.
Were they being stoned in the streets?
That, no.
Did you see people beating themselves to the ground with a book?
Like
Monty Python, when they're all walking, hitting themselves with the Bibles.
Pie Jesu Domine, Dona eis requiem.
I don't think, I'm sure you saw it in parts of New Mexico.
Yeah, I've seen it here. I went to Chimayo back when those dudes were hardcore and they were still nailing themselves to crosses. That was metal. I'm not even Catholic, but I thought that bitch was gnarly.
You know, I'm kind of glad my parents didn't raise me to be religious at this point.
Yeah, I did it to go see the freak show.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely an appeal, but I don't know if I really want to see somebody, like, beat themselves and nail themselves to a cross.
Oh, he was screaming bloody murder. I will say that.
I'm sure he was.
All right. Well, let's get back to Pope Hutton.
That's just a funny name.
Oh, it is. In 2003, he stated that he actually left the seminary because he did not want to be sent to New Guinea or the Philippines as a missionary. Sounds racist to me.
Okay, that tracks.
Instead, he found work with the Western Union and the Civilian Conservation Corps. He also contributed to and edited the newsletter, The Pointer, sounds weird, while he worked in Wisconsin for the Civilian Conservation Corps from 1938 to 1939. After serving with the United States Marine Corps at the Battle of Guadalcanal, which, I mean, this guy was already unstable. That is the worst place they could have sent this dude, obviously. Like, I mean, good Lord. Like, people that came out of there were unstable because, I mean, that was a horrible fight. Both sides, the Japanese and the Americans that were there, came out like, they came out messed up. So, I mean, this dude is clearly unstable to start with. So, I'm, like, scared knowing this guy wound up in Guadalcanal.
Oh, yeah, that definitely didn't do anything to improve him.
Oh, yeah, so he married a woman named Anne Patricia Riley on May 1st, 1944. They had 10 children and adopted another one after their arrival in Australia. So I guess, I think Mel was actually born here in America.
But just grew up in Australia.
Yep, Peekskill, New York.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Learn something new every day.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I guess, you know, they adopted a kid in Australia and everything, which, you know, that's awesome. Adopting kids is a great thing. Like, you know, don't raise them to be crazy, though. That's the problem.
I mean, when you have 10 children, it seems like you're already planning on starting a cult.
That's actually a really good point.
I mean, yeah, look at the Duggar family, the Quiverfuls.
Yeah. Okay. Rule for my listeners. If you're going to have more than like 4 kids in the 21st century, don't. Because even that's a lot. And any more, you're obviously trying to start your own damn religion. Just stop before you even get there.
Like, there's no way you could give each child the proper amount of attention they would need. Now, I'm not, like, saying people from large families are bad or anything, but it's just, there's only 24 hours in a day. Like, there's no way you can give every child the attention they need.
What if you cloned yourself a bunch of times like that Michael Keaton movie?
Well, yeah, then you could do it, but we don't have that kind of cloning technology.
I'm just imagining basic cloning technology and somebody didn't read the fine print, so now they just have 2 new babies, but they're just copies of them.
I just want a bunch of Michael Keatons. I think that'd actually be cool if they just sold them in a store and they could just do your domestic work and stuff, like Multiplicity, but like, you know, you just bought them at a hardware store.
Michael's Keaton.
I mean, granted, I would just buy one to ask him questions about Spider-Man and Batman and Beetlejuice all day. And
okay,
so probably hate me.
But, yeah, he would hate you because he's not actually Michael Keaton. He's just a clone of Michael Keaton. I disagree with the notion a clone would share memories.
I'm talking we 6-day his ass where we stick those things over his eyes.
Oh, and implant them?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We 6-day his ass.
Well, then they'd be really pissed off because they think they were a movie star. And now they're doing menial housework for you.
Yeah, actually, okay, you're right. So, okay, my world ends with me getting killed by a gang of Michael Keatons.
I mean, there's worse ways to go, I assume.
There are worse ways to go. That'd actually be kind of neat. Not fun, though. Moving back to Crazy Man. He, after all of his kids, he had a wife that died in 1990, and he remarried, and eventually they got divorced, and he came back to the United States, and he died here, so that's a quick overall little statement about him. So let's get into the details about him. As I said earlier, he was a Jeopardy grand champion. I mean, the man won 5 times in a row, and back then they used to kick your ass off the show if you won that many times.
I mean, that is still a pretty impressive feat even to this day.
Oh, it really is. And he came back for the championship game that they had, where they had all their champions for the year, and he won that. So he won a total of like 10 grand, and you may be asking yourself, wait, this guy sounds really rich. How did he make his money? He actually made his money after he slipped and fell at work and sued the company for like $150,000.
Which, you know, back then was
worth a lot of money.
Yeah, worth a lot more than it would be today.
Sorry, what year was it?
The year that he fell?
Mm-hmm.
1964.
Okay, and 150,000, that would be somewhere around 1.4 million?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty happy today getting 150 grand from slipping and falling, but yeah, back then, if it pretty much made me a millionaire, that'd be awesome.
Right. Yeah, and he said that he moved to Australia to keep his oldest son from having to fight in Vietnam. And, you know, I mean, that's an admirable reason to move to Australia. I have to agree. Like, that is a pretty admirable reason.
I mean, I feel like that has something to do with him fighting in Guadalcanal and just being like, I don't want them to go through that.
Yeah. It is unfortunate, though, that only rich people were able to escape like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a fascinating man because now we get into the real, real fun meat of the story of Hutton Gibson. Gibson was an outspoken critic of the modern post-secular Catholic Church and a conspiracy theorist. He disseminated his views in a quarterly newsletter called The War Is Now, and he self-published 3 collections. One called Is the Pope Catholic? One called The Enemy Is Here, and The Enemy Is Still Here!
I think it's just kind of funny because I think if you went to anywhere in the world, except for maybe a couple uncontacted tribes, you could ask them, is the Pope Catholic or not Catholic? And they would say, yeah, Catholic.
Like, I would definitely hope people would say the Pope is Catholic.
But he's addressed people in a language that's not Latin.
Oh, well, yeah, that settles it then. How could he be Catholic?
How could he be?
Go talk to me in Koine Greek or GTFO.
You know what? J.R.R. Tolkien would have liked you. He was also a member of this movement. I mean, he didn't go so far as to start his own church or anything, but he was actually excommunicated. Or no, sorry, not excommunicated. He was thrown out of his church and had to find a new Roman Catholic church because he had a habit of screaming everything the priest said in English back at him in Latin.
He's an interesting person.
Yes, he was. And his views on race are problematic, to say the least. Let's just put it that way, and it's why I get kind of a weird taste in my mouth every time I try reading Lord of the Rings.
I mean, a lot of authors from that era have very problematic views on race.
I mean,
especially fantasy, sci-fi, and horror writers.
No, we didn't talk about an early 20th century horror writer who was extremely racist in one of our earlier episodes. That never happened. That never happened, ever.
But it did.
Oh, we already talked about H.P. We brought H.P. Lovecraft up. We just haven't done an episode about him yet. We'll have to, but we're going to have to call him an asshole like 40, 50 times. So, I'm going to really need to back my shit up on that one, won't I? So, getting back to Captain Crazy, or Captain Crunch, whatever you prefer to call him, he was extremely critical of Pope John Paul II, who he once described as garrulous, careless, the Quran kisser.
Which... Oh, no.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
What is careless?
I don't careless? Know. I don't know what garrulous means either.
True. It sounds like Dr. Seuss.
Sounds like something a crazy man who lived in Australia would say.
I mean, Australian slang is pretty wild for an American. Like, it makes perfect sense to them, and, you know, they're definitely allowed to have their own slang and stuff. But as an American, when you hear it, it sounds fucking crazy.
These bloody things are everywhere. They're in the lift, in the lorry, in the bone wizard, and all over the Malunga Gildachuk.
They're like kangaroos, but they're reptiles, they is.
We have them in America. They're called bullfrogs.
What? That's an odd name. Oughta call them chazwazzers.
Apparently this was because, there was a magazine that said that John Paul kissed the Quran out of respect for Islam, which, hey, he wasn't a disrespectful prick. That actually, you know, is bad, I guess? I don't know.
I mean, he was already complaining about, like, modern stuff in the 30s.
Yeah, before Vatican II, so, yeah, he definitely had some problems. He also said that the United States public debt should be abolished and that the states need to secede from the federal government.
Oh, well, this is quite the character so far.
Mm-hmm. In 2004, a week before The Passion of the Christ came out, he was quoted as saying the Holocaust was fabricated and mostly fictional. He also said that the Jews simply emigrated to other countries rather than been killed. He claimed that census statistics proved that there were more Jews in Europe after World War II than before.
I like how those last two statements contradict one another.
Oh, yeah. And then he said that certain Jews advocate for a global religion and a one-world government.
So, we're just diving head first into that anti-Semitism then.
Oh, yeah. Like, this guy just comes in running with his anti-Semitism.
I've never even heard of a Jewish person who's trying to convert people, let alone...
I mean, now I'm just imagining he's like, the whole reason he's so upset with the church is that they don't have reliefs anymore of, like, rabbis mixing blood into matzah. And that's why he's like, it's obviously too progressive.
Yeah, this is not good.
But he does back it up with science, apparently.
Oh, no.
Here's how he dismissed the idea that, like, what was it, like 6 million Jews and like 9 million people total disappeared during the Holocaust?
12 million, actually.
12 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what he said. Go and ask an undertaker or the guy who operates the crematorium what it takes to get rid of a dead body.
It takes 20 liters of petrol and 20 minutes. Now 6 million across the table? Who uses gasoline to get rid of a body other than a serial killer?
But also, even if you're talking about fuel equivalents, like, let's give him the most gruesome benefit of the doubt as possible, it's still like, I don't understand why he doesn't understand the scale that countries operate on.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, this is literally a country that had an industrialized murder factory going.
Oh,
multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple. And I'm also sorry to any fans I have around the world that find this to be a unpleasant conversation. It's just, we are discussing a crazy man, and we are discussing what the crazy man thinks.
And, I mean, crazy person science is not real science.
It never is.
Oh, no. It's almost like just diving into the mechanics of how he thinks is kind of just gnarly.
Yeah. So, after he said that, his wife decided to jump in. She had not said a single thing the entire day to the reporter. And then she said, there weren't even that many Jews in Europe. Which contradicts other things that he said earlier. And then he said, anyway, there were more after the war than before. The entire catastrophe was manufactured as part of an arrangement between Hitler and the financiers. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong. If it wasn't obviously anti-Semitic, the financiers would be like such a great name for like a evil cabal in fiction.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it obviously has certain connotations attached to it.
Yeah. He went on further to say that the financiers and Hitler worked together to move all of the Jews out of Germany so they'd have more people to fight the Arabs. This man is a cuckoo clock.
Oh, I know. And what's crazy, I mean, if you were just Mel Gibson's dad, that'd be one thing. But it seems like he had a lot of influence on the set of Vacantists, right?
He did. So much so that he started his own church. And it is the most popular set of Vacantist church out there. When Mel Gibson released The Passion of the Christ and was talking about his church and everything, this is the church he was talking about, which he's in charge of now.
I don't like that idea that Mel Gibson's in charge of a church.
Oh, well, he probably believes a lot of the same things his dad does, including the fact that September 11th was a Masonic plot backed by the Jews, according to Hutton Gibson.
Always back to the Jews with this idiot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this guy definitely like, oh, yeah, he is out of his mind.
Like, what is it with conspiracy theorists and just being super anti-Semitic?
Well, that's actually because the first modern conspiracy theory actually dates back to the
Protocols of the Elders of Zion is the first modern conspiracy theory.
Yeah, which was actually disseminated by the Russian secret police.
I mean, but, you know, why keep beating up on them? Like, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of other people out there. You can pick different groups. It doesn't always have to be the Jewish people.
Oh, yeah, it's horrifying. I mean, like, you look through like history of Europe, and it's like the Jewish people have like a big presence in Spain after the diaspora, and then they get kicked out of Spain because of the Inquisition, and then they go to Germany, and then Germany kills like half of the Jewish population of Europe, and now they're in the United States, a lot of them.
Yeah, it's. I am so against, like, everything Israel's currently doing right now, but I believe in everybody's right to fight for an ethno-state if they have nowhere to go. And I will definitely say that the Jewish people at the end of World War II had nowhere to go. I'm not going to go any further into this until I get some people that really understand, like, the political problems in the Middle East. Getting back to Gibson, he endorsed Ron Paul, of course. And he even made an appearance on a far-right talk show called The Political Cesspool. Classy name. And basically, he used this platform to tell everybody that Pope Benedict was a homosexual and the other part of the Vatican were all queers.
Famed homosexual advocate and beer, Pope Benedict the 16th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. The way he always used to come out there in that mesh shirt with his frosted tips. Like, I mean...
Oh, yeah, and he replaced traditional church music with techno.
Uh-huh, it was the early 2000s. He had that Believe song by Cher going. Yeah, he also suggested that the Pope was a Freemason.
You know what's kind of funny about that?
What?
You can't join the Freemasons as a Catholic without risk of being excommunicated because they make you recite certain rites, including rites that say that no religion has has any certain truths.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, with conspiracy theorists, you're not going to find a lot of consistency in their beliefs.
Oh, yeah. It is infuriating.
But yeah. The Tridentine Sedevacantist Congregation, St. Michael, the Archangel, Roman Catholic Chapel. That is the church that Hutton Gibson built. Well, he didn't build it. He bought it, and then they turned it into their church, and Mel Gibson finances the whole thing. And anybody who watched The Passion, now you know what your money went to. It went to a crazy man who wanted to start his own Vatican.
And we actually have one of these churches like 3 minutes from our house.
Really?
San Petrus et Pauli, like, you know, under the freeway. Well, it's not under the freeway, but you pass under the freeway from our place to get it there. But the guy built it by hand, stone by stone. It was kind of fun to watch until I realized that it was like what it was. And like,
it's a crazy people church.
Oh, yeah. You have to wear a suit if you're a man. You have to wear a bonnet if you're a woman. The priest looks away from you and speaks in Latin the whole time.
I say we go in there and we wear bonnets. And if they make us wear suits because they're assholes, then we do that. For any of our listeners that don't know, I'm trans. I'm sure you can't tell from my buttery smooth voice, but I identify as a woman. Yeah, but like I said, I would even go so far as to wear the suit if they made me, as long as we could wear tinfoil in the bonnet or on our heads when we go in there.
I feel like these people have absolutely no problem violating civil rights. I think they'd be like, get out of my church.
I just want to go in there with a tinfoil hat and tell them they need to help me protect myself from the beams. So, and of course, for any of you that don't know, after Hutton Gibson passed away, his son took over. And his son is most famous nowadays for one being the original Mad Max, which Tom Hardy does a better job. He's also, you know, the guy that called the police officer sugar tits and said some of the most reprehensible things in the world, and I won't even repeat them.
You have Google.
Yeah, you have Google. If you really want to look up the terrible stuff Mel Gibson said, look it up.
I mean, he's been trying to, like, bury it for years, and it's probably still the number one search result.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm a huge Richard Donner fan. I'm not saying, stop watching Lethal Weapon and everything. I'm just saying, the man's a crazy, paranoid racist, and we should all avoid giving him money if we can.
I also think it's kind of funny that a lot of people who complain about cancel culture complain about Mel Gibson when he canceled the Pope.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also, again, the same people that were happy when Colin Kaepernick got fired. It's the exact same people that demanded that James Gunn get fired. Same people that demanded that Ed Asner get fired. I mean, same people that made Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, she's definitely problematic. But when Ellen DeGeneres came out in the 90s, that's the entire reason they fired her from her sitcom. I mean, it's not like she went like, anybody familiar? I mean, I know most of my listeners are in their 40s. I've been seeing my demographics. They're in their late 30s, early 40s. If any of you remember that show, Grace Under Fire, that actress Rhett Butler pulled off her shirt in front of all those other people on the set, and that's why they fired her. People used to get fired for that and just for being lesbian. Those two things were looked at as just as bad. Exposing yourself to a bunch of kids and being a lesbian in a sitcom were the same thing in 1994.
You know, we've come a long way, and it's definitely for the better.
It really is. And when we get Lil Nas X in the White House, we'll have our first gay president.
Yeah?
I mean, I'd definitely vote for him unless he was a crazy person, because why not?
Yeah, I'm not going to just vote for a celebrity based on, you know, them being a celebrity. The last two times we've done that, it's been awful. But, I mean, granted, I don't think he would do a bad job. I mean, just based on the fact that he has more fashion sense than those two did. And he can rap better.
Well, now I'm really curious about that alternate universe where Kanye did win the election and how that's going.
What about that alternate universe where Ronald Reagan invented hip hop?
That is probably terrifying and really racist.
Oh, God, you're right. Oh, God.
Speaking of, did you hear about Nancy Reagan being the throat goat?
Yes, I heard about Nancy Reagan being the throat goat. And you heard it here, everybody. Nancy apparently said hell yes to blowjobs, and everybody said hell yes to Nancy's blowjobs. And, I mean, you know, the Reagans disgust me, but if I had a time machine, I would be tempted to see what they were all talking about.
Especially because he's so hypocritical, anyway.
Well, again, she came up with the just say no thing while she was addicted to painkillers herself. Yeah.
She said just say no to smoking a glass dick, not to sucking a dick.
Yeah, those are two different things.
And, yeah, that's basically going to be the end of our show. I mean, I wanted to end it on a high note, and I think that's a high note to end it on, is us talking about Nancy being the throat goat. Oh, also, just for everybody that doesn't know, according to Adam Carolla, more men in America wear bracelets than eat stew. And I don't know what the fuck that means. So if any of you know what the fuck that means, or what the hell that's supposed to mean, send me an email and let me know at nerdforensics@gmail.com. You can also reach me at Patreon at patreon.com/nerdforensics. And you can always reach me on my Twitter at CampPodMillie. That's with a K. All right. And tonight, of course, I was joined by my wonderful guest, my fabulous, wonderful producer and fiance,
Sophia Baca. You can find me at SciPod Sophia, the Sophia with an F, and the Breaking Math Podcast. We're kind of the math goats.
And my best friend and confidant, Jacob Urban.
Yeah, you can find me at CactusJake505 on Twitter, and I'm the woodworking goat.
Yeah, he's the woodworking goat. And me, I'm the Jeopardy goat that wants to start their own Catholic church. Thank you. Good night.
I mean, from what you're telling me, I'm kind of surprised that they don't just already offer tinfoil hats at service.
I was going to say it's because of the church is lined with tinfoil. It's God's house.
It is God's house.
It is.
And God's house keeps the rays away.
Yeah, and makes a nice baked potato.
Makes a nice baked potato. And if you bury a church in the sand and you put a bunch of hot coals in there, it is the best thing to cook your corn in.
Hmm.
I'm Millicent Oriana, and this has been Nerd Forensics.